Hey, my name is Ryan McVitie, and I am the pastor of the River Worship. Thank you so much for joining us on our podcast. If you haven't heard about the River yet, it's an amazing move of God happening in the greater Toronto area. Yes, Toronto, Canada. It's a cold place, but we have warm hearts, and we love coming together every Tuesday night and worshiping the Lord with all we've got. We also get to dive into the Word, and that's where we're going to go right now. We're going to dive into the Word of God, and I trust and pray that it will impact you in a powerful way. If you're ever in the Toronto area, come visit us. We would love for you to worship with us together. But enjoy the message, and God bless you.
How you doing tonight? Oh, come on, what's going on? I know it's cold out there, but I thought Canadians had warm hearts. How's it going tonight? It's so good to see you. If you're a first-time guest, my name is Ryan McVitie. I get the honor and privilege of pastoring this thing called the River Worship. What God has been doing has been so special. I want to take this opportunity to say happy Valentine's Day. It's a little late, but better late than never. Come on, where are the couples at? Give it up for all the couples in the house. All the guys who use the snowstorm as an excuse to cheap out and not take their girl on a date. Veterans in the house. Veterans, I see you. Happy Valentine's Day. It's so good to see you. I hope you had a good one shoveling out all that snow. My back is killing me, man. There was a lot of snow this weekend, and I'm getting old. But I hope you had a good Valentine's Day. We're going to talk about love and relationships tonight. Can we do that? Guys, there's still time. You can run for the door. You won't hurt my feelings. Love and relationships, and I want to tell you, for those of you who maybe have had some struggles in this area, which, hey, you know what, it's part of life, relationships are hard, God is able to do it. He's more than able to do it. He's able to bring you your boo, amen? Single people, amen? All right. He's able to do it. In fact, he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond all that you could ever ask, think, or imagine. I have evidence of it. Lindsay, stand up. Stand up. Give my girl a happy Valentine's applause. Oh, she's going to be mad at me for this. If you believe that God is done with miracles, just take a good look at this and take a good look at that. And you will know that God is still in the miracle working business. I am a blessed man. I got a wonderful wife. And I'm excited to talk to you and bring you the Word of God when it comes to love and relationships. So we're going to jump right in. If you got your Bible, open it up, boot it up, turn it on. We're going to jump in. Our scripture's not long today, but man, is it powerful. The Word of God can absolutely change your life, and it can change your relationships as well. So we're going to jump into Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Author of this book is Solomon, a very wise man. We're going to jump into chapter 4, verse 9. It's going to come up on the screen. It says this, two are better than one. Amen. Some married people back there. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. Verse 10, if either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, verse 11, if two lay down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Verse 12, this is what we're going to preach on tonight. Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. But catch this, a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Would you look at your neighbor, your first overall pick? Come on, do it real quick. Choose somebody, your first overall pick. It will offend the other person next to you, but that's fine. The pastor told you to do it. Your first overall pick. And tell them the title of my message, Three Strands. It doesn't mean a thing to you yet, but it will. Can you preach it a little better than that? Who am I preaching to tonight? I thought this was the River Worship. Can you say three strands? I think you can do a little better. For the third time, maybe, three strands. There we go. Three strands, a cord of three strands is not easily broken. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about some things that are very helpful to the single people, to the dating people, and to the married people. I am very, very married, happily married. 10 years I've been married to my boo right here. Give it up for her one last time. If you knew the real Ryan McVitie, not the stage Ryan McVitie, you would clap more for her. 10 years of putting up with me. This dude in the back must know me. He was clapping real loud. 10 years. That means I've been out of the game for a long time. The dating game, the relationship game, 14 years actually we've been together. I have been taken for a very, very long time. But I imagine in 2025, the dating game is hard. Can I get amen from anyone? Gosh, I do not envy those of you who are trying to date in 2025. I can't imagine what it's like today. There are apps and apps and apps, but then there's also serial killers. And this is how Netflix documentaries are made. And you're just trying to not show up on one of them one day. That's very wise. It is crazy out there today. I don't know how you do it, single people. But how many in here really do want a lasting, loving, God-fearing relationship? Come on. How many people want that? Because I tell you, friends, it is the second biggest blessing that you can have in your life right after salvation from God. There is nothing better than to have this gift. So I want to try to help you tonight from the Word of God to get you there, to get past all the games, man. I'm 35 now. When I look at all those games that people play, I'm like, I don't want any of that. I want the real thing, the R-E-A-L thing. That's what I got sitting in the front row, the R-E-A-L thing. I don't want the reels, R-E-E-L-S anymore. I want the real things. I don't want something that's sexy for 30 seconds. I want something that's sexy for 30 years. Can I get an amen to that? Come on. That's what I want. And that's what I want for you too. So if you are here with your husband and your wife, would you look at them and say, game over? Come on, married people, you can do a little better. Game over. The game is done and you won, boo. So, well, you don't want to say that? Come on, you're the prize. They got you. All right, married people, we'll work on it. We'll work on it. If you're with your boyfriend or your girlfriend tonight, make some noise. I know who you are. What do y'all sit together over here? That's strange, the dating section. If you're here with your boyfriend or your girlfriend, ladies, you know, maybe just take your left hand and hold it up to your man for a second. You know, just wave at them with your left hand. Maybe point out a finger that's there. You know, I'm just saying, not for any reason. You guys are definitely going to hate me after tonight. But your whole hope is that you reach game over. You get to that point where you're off the market, where that's it. When you have a long, loving, happy marriage, that's what I hope. Single people in the room. I didn't say make noise. I just said single people in the room. But, I mean, if y'all are that loud, you might as well put your hand up. Somebody cute might see you. Come on, put your hand up real loud. Single people. Gosh, single people. There's nothing like them. Single people. Who are you pointing at? This mama is pointing at her son. She says, get him a man. That's why we come to the river. Get him a man. Get him a girl. Oh, my gosh. His name is Manny. It messed me up. Manny, look what I'm doing to you now. Stand up, bro. Stand up. Single and ready to mingle. Manny, he's on the River Worship team. He sings real good. Just putting that out there. Loves Jesus, too. Loves the Lord with all of his heart. Gosh, none of that was planned. Well, on that note, we should probably get back into the Word of God. Here's what the Lord wants for you. The Lord wants the games to be over for you. The Lord wants a happy and healthy marriage for you. So how are we going to get there? Because man, oh man, it's hard today. And in church, let's be honest, we have made this topic pretty weird. Can we agree about that? Dating in church is a weird thing. Because see, we got the fellas, we got the guys who pull all kinds of things. Ladies, you know what I'm talking about. Here's one that you've probably heard before. The Holy Spirit told me just last week in a vision that you are gonna be my wife. You ever heard that one, ladies? I was at Liberty University in undergrad, and I was in the library, and I heard a guy say that to a girl right next to me. You know what she said back to him? She said, dude, the Holy Spirit's got my number, and he didn't tell me nothing about you. I was like, dang, that hurts. Shut down. So that's the guys we got to deal with when it comes to dating. But then there's the girls. Oh, there's the girls. You know the girls that are just dating Jesus right now? You know, that was a fad back in the 2000s. I hope it stays there with the Backstreet Boys. We just finished a series called Old Things. Let's just keep that an old thing. you know, you ask them out in a nice, God-honoring way, and they just say, you know, I'm so sorry, man. You're such a nice guy. I'm just dating Jesus, and it's Wednesday, and you're kind of like, okay, I can't really get mad at her because that's a good thing. But then Friday comes, and you're at the movies, and she's holding hands, and that's not Jesus. That's Chad. Who the heck is Chad? I thought you were dating Jesus, girl. He got long, flowy hair like Jesus, but that's not Jesus. What's going on? See, we made this whole thing pretty weird. But I tell you, the church is still the best place to find a lady or find a man. Can I get an amen? It's a whole lot better than the club, I promise you that. So tonight, I want to get past all these games. I didn't come here just to have fun with you all night. I want to try to help you. I want to help you get past these games, single people, dating people, married people. I want to help you with the Word of God on how to stay married, on how to stay God-honoring, on how to have a happy, God-fearing marriage with lifetime love, commitment, and companionship. That is our goal tonight. And if we're going to get there, we got to start with some questions. So here's the first one. Really, single people, this is for you. Dating people, too. This is a very important question. I'm going to get very real with you. What are you looking for? I mean, really, think about it. What are you looking for when you are looking for a spouse? Ladies, what are you looking for? Are you just, you know, getting your roof on, gleaning through the fields, faithfully serving your family? Not trying to force anything, you know, but if your Boaz happens to show up, hey, you know, that would be fine, and you're just being good and faithful, and but the first guy comes, and you start dating him, and my mom and dad aren't here today, so I can tell this joke. You start dating him, but you find out after a little while that he's not a Boaz, he's broke as, you know, and then you get past him, because you don't want that, and the next one comes, but he's not Boaz either, he's cheating as, A-Z, we'll be real clear, and then the worst one comes up, it's not Boaz, it's lying as, and you're like, where's my bow, I just want my bow, give me my bow. Well, I want to try to help you tonight in how to get your bow. Ladies, guys, here's the question, are you looking for the right thing? Let me speak real plainly to you. Are you looking for a smoking hot body? Are you looking out for a heart that is after God? What are you looking for? Because the outcome will be very, very different based upon what you are looking for. Like I told you before, I am so beyond taken. Okay, 10 years married to this girl. It's the best blessing ever. I am so beyond taken. And she, let me tell you, God really loves me. She's a perfect 10, okay? She's gorgeous. I've been married for her 10 years. She's still a perfect 10. She's beautiful. But what I want to tell you something today. After 10 years of marriage, 14 years of relationship, her physical appearance is not on the top of my list. That is not the thing that makes me love her now. Of course, yeah, I love the fact that she's beautiful. That's great. But that is not the thing. Let me tell you the thing that keeps me on fire for her. The way she has sacrificed for me. The way she has been there through thick or thin. The way she, when I couldn't walk for a year, the way she pushed my wheelchair every day for me. The way she drove the car for me, the way she helped me up the stairs in the house when I couldn't walk, those are the types of things that are really attractive, my friends. Those are the things that really matter. The way when I got in a bad car accident and got hit by a drunk driver going the wrong way on the highway, the way she got in her car in the middle of the night and drove 8 hours across the country to come meet me. That, my friends, is what's attractive. That, my friends, is a heart. But I tell you, if the thing you're looking for is a smoking hot body, I don't know if that's what you're going to get. That cannot be our priority in this lifetime. Because look, friends, appearance fades. People change. Bodies change. Trust me, I'm a living testimony of that. Attraction fades. But a person's heart for Jesus is something that makes all the difference. So I want to ask you tonight, single people, what is it that you're really looking for? Because this world today has a completely different parameter that they use when it comes to dating. Swipe left, swipe right, swipe left, Swipe right. We've reduced people to a single Photoshopped profile picture. This is not even real. You see them on the app, then you meet them, and you're like, I'm just waiting here for my date. Because you don't even recognize them. We have reduced people to their physical appearance, but I'm telling you, my friends, a profile picture, a beautiful face, won't tell you if that is the kind of person that will love you unconditionally, that will be with you in the hard times, for sicker, for health, for richer, for poorer. That won't tell you if she or he is the kind of person that will help you raise your kids in a godly way, that will walk through a cancer battle with you and stay by your side and remain faithful serving you. Physical appearance won't do any of that for you. But today in the world, we've made it all about that. We've eliminated everything that really matters, and we've traded it for how somebody looks. And I get to counsel a lot of single people here at the River. There's a lot of y'all. You heard that noise? I get to counsel them, and so often I hear, especially guys, man, guys will say something like this, you know, she's amazing, and I love how she lives her life for God, but I'm just not physically attracted to her. You know what I say back to that? Dude, where is that in the Bible? Find me the verse that says your first parameter should be, are you physically attracted to that person, yes or no? It's not there. But I hear it all the time. And I want to tell you guys, bodies change. Six packs fade away. Plus, carbs are delicious anyway. Ladies, I talk to ladies sometimes. Oh, man, I heard her. This lady, she told me one thing once. And she was a lady. She wasn't a girl. She was a lady. And she said to me, see, Pastor, it's just when you're finding someone for me, like, that's my job. She says, just they got to be at least 6'2", okay? Some short king over there just said, oh, no. She said they got to be 6'2". I wish I had the courage to say what I wanted to say. I wanted to say, honey, you're 35. 5'10" ain't that bad. 5'10" will do you just fine. You don't need 6'2". Time is running out. But we have reduced our parameters and changed our filters for what we're looking for. And if they do not pass the attraction test, we don't even look at their faith. That's crazy. I'm not saying physical attraction doesn't have a part to play. Of course it does, but it's not the entry gate. And we can't treat it that way. Guys, I've had guys say this before. Oh, dude, no, I'm not into her. I'm only into blondes. What? Bro, you do know blondes are like 99% fake, right? It's called hair color. It's not even real. But we'll make all these crazy sweeping assessments and wipe out entire groups of people based over physical appearance. Oh, man, I have a friend. I don't know why I'm telling you all this. He's my age. I'm 35, turning 36 this year. I'm an old man. And no offense to those of you that are more mature than me. But I have a friend who's my age. He's not a spring chicken anymore, and he is still single, very, very single. And this guy will not even talk to a girl unless she looks like a supermodel. And eventually, I wanted to just say to him, I didn't, but maybe I will now that I'm here and I got the courage to do it. I wanted to say to him, dude, you got to understand something. You are not Brad Pitt, bro. Like, you're going to get real old waiting for your Angelina. Plus, I don't think that worked out so great. That's not the recipe for success. But again, it's what we've done. See, here's what we need to do. We need to start seeing people the way God sees people. And the prophet Samuel, he said this. He said, people judge the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. So what is it that you're looking for, single people? Are you looking for a heart after God? Or are you looking for a body? Because I'll tell you, one of them fades away real quick. The other one will be the biggest blessing that you can ever have by your side till the day that you die. Come on, three people are clapping. It should be more than that. Ladies, look at his heart. Look at his patterns. What does he do? Look at his priorities. That's what matters so much more. What is it that you are actually searching for? That's the first question tonight. What is it? Are you searching for a body or are you searching for a person? Another danger when we're looking, I don't have time to break this one all the way down, but when we're single, sometimes we look to people, our spouse, to be our purpose and our fulfillment. And I want to tell you, God might bless you with the best potential spouse ever and bring them right in front of you, but they were never meant to bring you fulfillment or to bring purpose into your life. Only Jesus Christ can do that. You know why? Because you and me, we have a God-shaped hole in our heart that only he can fit. Don't put that burden around their neck. No matter how great they are, they're not going to be able to do it. Be careful when you're hungry. This is what we talked about last week. Be careful when you're hungry dating. Because people can't fill, even the best people can't fill the role that God was meant to fill. Okay, that's enough on searching. So when we're looking, we got to ask, are we looking for the right thing? Here's point two coming up on the screen. Now you're looking for the right thing. How do you get it? How do you find it? It's a scary question in 2025. How do you find a God-fearing man or a God-fearing woman? An honorable spouse. It's hard today, but truthfully, it's always been hard. What does Proverbs 31 say? It's coming up on the screen. An excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. It's a hard thing to find, so I want to try to help you. How? Where? The church is a great place. My parents met in church. I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for church. After church, they went out to Swiss Chalet and got some Christian chicken. That's why I'm here today. It's terrible, but it's cheap, and, you know, we do it. I shouldn't say that. It's not terrible. I don't want to get sued. But that's where I come from. Church is a great place to find them. But what I want to tell you is when you're looking, my friends, finding that spouse, it's not a hunt. It's not a search. The answer is not another app. The answer is not finding another friend group. Look, don't get me wrong. You can't hide under a rock and then go, God, how come you never sent anyone my way? But the answer is not searching farther. You are not Dora the Explorer, okay, that just has to find him under a rock. There he is. That's not you. That's not what God calls you to do. Single people that I talk to, what I hear often, so often, is they say this: my biggest fear is, what if I marry the wrong person? And I don't mean to scold them, because that's not a bad question. Of course, who you marry is so important. But there's a better question to ask than, what if I marry the wrong person? How about this question? How about this prayer? God, make me the right person. God, prepare me to be the kind of husband that my dream girl would want to be with, that could honor her. God, make me the kind of woman that is worthy of a Boaz, so I don't have to keep dealing with broke. That's a joke. I won't finish it. But truthfully, my friends, we always make it outward. How can I find them? How come I haven't found them yet? Maybe, just maybe, there's a part for us to play. Maybe there's a part that we need to play. We focus everything outwardly on the search, but sometimes our focus needs to be inward on ourselves. See, how tragic would it be if God gave you your dream girl, but you didn't have the character yet to sustain that relationship, and after a week, she was gone? Sometimes we have to work inwardly. And when we do, I tell you, my friends, when the time is right, God will give her to you, will give him to you. But there's a preparation season in our life. What a tragedy it would be if they came along and we weren't ready yet, if we lost them after a week. You good? You here? Yes, I got you. Just making sure it's cold out there. We're all still in it. Single people are looking at me. Okay, good. Just making sure. Because here's what the Word of God says. Matthew chapter 5 says this: if you seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, all will be added. Single people, understand, that includes your man. That includes your girl. All will be added if we seek the kingdom. That's the search. The search isn't a new friend group. The search is for the kingdom. You get right, God will bring that person into your life, I promise you. And then when he blesses you with them, the next question becomes this: After he's put them in your life, after you've put in the work, here's the next question. This is for the dating people. This is for the married people. How do you keep them? How do you keep it? He who finds a wife finds a good thing. How do you keep her? If you find a God-fearing husband, how do you keep him? How do you keep the marriage alive, the commitment? How do you keep it all going? See, I want to tell you something tonight and be very truthful with you. The enemy does not like a married couple serving God. The enemy hates marriage today. That's a fact. We see it in society. Divorce rates are higher than they've ever been. The enemy does not want you coming together with another person who honors God, seeking God together. So he will attempt to come for your union. Marriage is not easy, but it is the second best thing you will ever do in your life, right behind salvation. But it's not easy. I want to tell you, marriage is the service industry. Marriage is not designed to serve only you. It's designed to serve the two of you. Marriage is about giving, not just about receiving. But the world today, what does the world teach us about marriage? The world today says this: stay in it so long as it's good for you. Soon as it's not good for you anymore, get out. Soon as they're not serving you, that's the end. But that is not what the Bible says about marriage. It is better to give than receive. When you give to your spouse, the joy that you get from that, my friends, is so much better than anything that you could ever receive. But here's what I came to tell you tonight in so many words. This is the whole thing. Yes, the enemy is fighting against a Christian marriage, a God-fearing relationship. But the best news is this: you are not in the fight alone. You don't fight for your relationship by yourself, not even the two of you. You don't fight it together alone. There is another who fights with you. Remember our verse that we started? Ecclesiastes 4, verse 12. It's going to come back up on the screen. Remember what it said? The one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Now let's pause for a second. Three. Why three? The whole scripture that I read to you before is all about two. Verse 9, put it up on the screen. Two are better than one. Verse 10, if either of them falls down, one can help up the other. That's two. Verse 11, if two lie down together. Verse 12, the one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. Why all of a sudden in the last line of this scripture does it say a cord of three strands is not quickly broken? What's with the three? I want to tell you what's with the three. The third in your relationship is the creator of the universe, is God. He is that third strand. And man, when he is in your relationship, everything changes. When he is in the rightful place in your marriage, in your dating relationship, in your single life, everything changes, my friends. If two can have a good return for their labor, if two can keep warm, can defend themselves, as Ecclesiastes says, imagine what can be done with three when the third is God. Imagine what God can do. You can raise up a family that will go change the world. You can withstand the wiles of the enemy and the dark principalities that come against you if you have him in it with you. So I want to show you what it's like. Can you help me out, bro? Give me my strands. Look at this. This is some work. I drove to Home Depot this morning for y'all. Home Depot ain't cheap anymore either. I got two strands here. Let me see if I can do this without getting anybody injured. I don't know. How much did I pay for them? I think they're about $800 each. You should really thank me. That was a joke. They were $8. Two strands right here. I did some research on these strands because I wanted to show you this, show you what the Word of God is saying practically so you can apply it into your life. This strand right here has the ability to pull and hold up to 10 pounds. That's one strand, 10 pounds. Now, when two strands come together, this is good, y'all. When there's two strands, the pulling ability, the weight that can be held, the amount of tension and friction, the things that can be moved increases. In fact, it doubles. Two, now this becomes 20 pounds. When two come together, there is something magical that happens. We increase to 20. But I did a little research, And I talked to a friend of mine who's an engineer to verify this. There's something crazy about a three-strand cord. 2, 10 plus 10 is 20. But if I was to trade these two individual cords for something called marriage, a godly marriage where God is on the throne, and if I was to get, I did a little work ahead of time, a three-strand cord where the three have been intertwined, put together, inseparable, together as one, I would have this. And common logic would tell you, if one can pull 10, and if two can pull 20, then with three, this should be able to pull 30. But I want to tell you a fact that my engineering friend told me, and the label from Home Depot verified. This rope right here doesn't pull 30 pounds. This rope can pull 300 pounds. This rope can pull 10 times what those two could do on their own. A three-strand cord is not easily broken. See, when you invite God into your relationship and you engage in holy matrimony with Him, the three of you become intertwined as one unit. And this unit is strong. This unit can handle the friction of life. When the times get rough and there's tension, this unit doesn't break. This unit can be pulled from the left, it can be pulled from the right, but guess what? It remains strong. Why? Because it is a three-strand cord. Come on. This is what God wants for you. So here's what it looks like in an image. Put up my triangle on the screen. This is what it looks like in an image. This is how God designed marriage, minus the tattoo art. Questionable. God, husband, and wife. I want you to notice something about that. That is a sealed unit. The enemy cannot get in when that is a three-strand cord, when there are three parts. There is no opening for attack. There is no opening for people to come in and tear apart what God has put together. There's no opening for the devil to come in and bring doubt and create questions and then lead to mistakes that shouldn't be happening. This is the way that God designed a marriage. Now, it doesn't mean it's not going to be hard. It doesn't mean it's perfect. We're people. This bottom half, we're not perfect. But if God is in it, He is perfect. And He has a perfect grace and mercy and love that can see you through. So it's so important when you're looking for a spouse that you look for a husband who doesn't just run to you and doesn't just love you, but a husband that runs to God. And that is connected to God and has a prayer life to God and loves God and has God in his heart. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 has this verse. It talks about being unequally yoked. We hear a lot of teaching about this. What does it mean to be unequally yoked? A yoke is something that you would put over the ox when you plow a field. It's a wooden bar that goes over the necks of the ox, and you use it to plow a field. What is the Bible teaching when it tells you, do not be unequally yoked? It's teaching you this. If you have one person in the relationship who is pursuing God and is after God and who's on fire for God and seeking Him, and you have another person who has that same passion, you know what you're going to do? You're going to plow the field strongly, and you're going to make progress. But if you have one who's on fire for God and another who only comes to the river on Tuesday night to appease the girl because she's cute, then, my friends, what you have is one who is strong and one who is not. And when you go to plow the field, you don't go in a straight line with progress. You know what happens when you have one strong and one weak on the same yoke? Circles and circles and circles. So when I ask you the question, how do you keep it? How do you keep a godly marriage? Of course, there are so many practical things I could talk to you about, but I don't have time. Things like communication, things like the value of marriage counseling, so many important things like that. But more important than anything else is that each person keeps God on the throne of their heart. Because if that is the reality, the enemy cannot break through. He cannot destroy what God has put together. And divorce today is at an all-time high. Statistically, it's true. More people, we're almost at a point now where more people get divorced than people who make it and stay married. That's the point that we're at in society today, and it happens for a lot of reasons. If that's your story, I don't want you to have shame in this place. There's a lot of reasons why it happens, but I want to tell you, I looked up the top reasons. The number one reason is finances. It's so expensive today. There's so much stress that comes with money. The number two reason is fidelity, cheating, not being faithful. And the reasons go on and on, but I want to tell you something today. Those, my friends, are not actually the causes of the breakdown of a Christian marriage. The breakdown of a Christian marriage, my friends, is not because of those things. It's because of something that happened first that led to those things. See, those things are just the symptom. The cause is when one of the three loses their connection to God, stops pursuing God. There it is. That's what it looks like. See, now you don't have a three-strand cord anymore. Now you just have two. And the heart is open to attack from the enemy. Now others can come in and say things and do things that hurt your relationship. But friends, God has a different plan for you. If you will serve God and pursue Him wholeheartedly in your relationship, and if you will move closer to God, I want to show you, I got another graphic. Hopefully they can put it up. Not that one, the first one. Husband and wife, when you move closer to God, there's a benefit that happens. You also get closer to each other. You see how it works? See, it's not just about the connection husband to wife. That's not the way that you really get closer in a Christian relationship. Is you get right with God, and she gets right with God, and then look what the result is. And now you have a rope, you have a cord that can withstand any attack. Because it's hard today. The cards are stacked against you. Every time you go online, you're met with comparison. Look what their relationship looks like. Look what they have. Look what we don't have. But my friends, if you have this, you can make it through anything. What you need the most in your relationship, I've been trying to tell you this in a lot of words, is God on the throne. When God is on the throne in your relationship, here's what you can do. You can say, good luck, devil. Bring your best, whatever you want to bring at me. Pull and tug from any direction. But I have a three-strand cord that you will not break. That no matter what you do, you can take your fight somewhere else. Because for me and my house, we serve the Lord. We serve the one true living God. And you're not welcome here. And we're not breaking. See, He needs to get you like this. He needs to get you away and alone so He can make you snap. I'm not strong enough to snap it, or I would. Get some Samson stuff going on up here. But when you are in this, my friends, when you keep God at the throne, He has no chance. Would you stand on your feet? Because we're going to go back into a time of worship. Worship leaders, be careful. Don't fall over these traps here. Single people in the room, I hope you're not mad at me. I didn't mean to call you shallow tonight. I just want to save you a whole lot of trouble. A physical feature is not going to bring you happiness in your life. Beauty is not going to do it. But a heart that pursues God will change everything. Don't judge as man judges. See him or her as God sees. Look to their heart. Dating people, this is the time to put God on the throne. This is the time to save your marriage before it even starts. This is the time to learn how to pray together. Because there will be seasons where that's all you got. You don't have an answer. You don't know what to do. But you can grab hands and go to the Heavenly Father because He always knows what to do. And He's able to save you in any storm that you're in. That triangle that was up on the screen, that triangle can withstand anything. The devil would have you believe that maybe you've been single for a long time and there's no hope for you. Or maybe you've been married for a long time and it's just been pain and suffering and it doesn't feel like how you thought it would feel. But the truth of the matter is that if both of you will get God back on the throne, He can mend the broken heart. He can bring the unit back together. But you need Him. No matter how much of a power couple you are, no matter how cute you two are together, you can't do it without Him. I can't do it without Him. We can't do it without Him. So we're going to go back into worship, and I want to encourage you in your relationship to become servants of God again. Not just servants of each other. Buying flowers is nice. It was Valentine's. Buy your girl flowers. If you didn't, bro, come on. You're cheap. Do it. Take her on a date. Treat her right. But it's not just about serving each other. It's about serving Him. It's about serving God. If you will, then here's what happens. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17. It says this: no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of servants of the Lord. That's you. But don't forget to serve Him in your marriage. Don't be so busy serving each other and then wondering why it's not working out that you forget to serve the one who made you, the one who can save your relationship. So we're going to worship together again, and I want to ask you to do this, to seek His face. Because the greatest way to appreciate Him is to see Him, to remember what He's done for you, how He's been there for you through thick and thin. Then the only response is to bow down and to cry, "Holy." Father God, I thank You for these people in this room, Lord. I thank You for the marriages that are here, God. I ask that You would strengthen their unity, Lord. I ask that tomorrow they would feel a new outpouring, a fresh oil on their relationship as they put You back in the place that You belong. God, I thank You for those that are dating in this room. Give them wisdom, God. Help them to keep You where You belong. And then get them to the altar so that they can serve You together as one unit. God, those that are waiting, some for so long, God, give them peace tonight. Let them know that You have good things for them. You have a plan, a hope, and a future. But help them to seek first the kingdom and then let it all be added. You're a good God, Father. We love You. Show us Your face tonight.